morning, Siobhan.
Ah, yes. Good morning, Dan. I think this is the first time we've ever recorded in the morning.
Yeah, I think this is by far, like if you looked at a time, the average time we start, or just like a distribution of it, I think this is by far the earliest we've started.
Yeah, at least like three standard deviations like towards the earlier time, unless you count the times where we're recording at like 1 or 2 a.m. Is that really early or really late?
Yeah, that one, we've got to say that's a late one. We've got to say those ones are late ones. But
okay,
yeah,
fair enough.
In terms of like time since waking up, okay, that's the best way to do it then maybe. Time since waking up, then we're talking minutes right now. Well, for me at least.
For you.
I think for you.
It's been a couple of hours for me.
Okay, what time did you wake up?
Today, 4:30-ish in the morning, okay. Not in the afternoon.
Fine. So you're 4 hours into your day. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
So today we're actually recording before I'm going to placement. So I need to head fairly soon. And in that time, I thought we could talk about just a little principle that I've noticed a bit in sport, but I think it translates really nicely to life as well. And it's to do with getting to the top and the mental strain that it seems to take to win something or to achieve a certain goal. But then also what happens after you've achieved it and how difficult it is to go back and do it again. Yeah. And that's something that, for example, in tennis is really common. Like a tennis player will have a certain goal that they're trying to achieve. For example, win a Grand Slam or get to world number one. And they will try for years to get there. And what happens is along the way, they'll get closer and closer, you know? So maybe their goal is to win a Grand Slam. Then they'll get to the quarterfinals 1 year. And that sort of breaks a mental barrier. It's like, I can get to the quarters. So the next years after that, it's not hard for them to get to the quarters anymore. But then to get to the semis or the final is the next step. They might get to the final the next year and lose the final. And it's so hard often to get to the top, which might be win a Grand Slam. After that happens, almost invariably, the year after that, it's a drop, a massive drop in the stage they reach. I can think of a lot of examples. A good one, I think, to use is Novak Djokovic, because he's very famous. Some people think he's the greatest tennis player of all time. I'm a Nadal fan, so I can't be rational. And his goal for a long time was to win the French Open, because he'd won all the other Grand Slams, and of the four, he'd won three, and he really wanted to win the French for his whole career. And he got closer and closer, and it got to the point where he'd been in the final three or four times. It was basically every year he was getting to the final. And in 2015, everyone thought he was going to win it, and he lost. Okay, so he pushed and pushed and pushed. In 2016, he finally won it. After that, he dropped off, and it wasn't just in the French Open that he dropped off. He dropped off across the whole season. After that French Open victory, a couple months later, to win the French Open, it was actually a bit crazy. He won four Grand Slams in a row. So basically in 2015, he lost the French Open final. Then the next tournament, Wimbledon, he won it. The next tournament, US Open, he won it. The next tournament, 2016 Australian Open, he won it. The next tournament, 2016 French Open, he won it. I believe him wanting to win the French Open so badly forced his level up in all, it's just his general level in tennis up so high to the point where he would be able to win the French Open. And as soon as he won that French Open, he dropped. He didn't win the 2016 Wimbledon. He didn't win 2016 US Open. He didn't win the 2017 Australian Open. He didn't win the 2017 French Open. He didn't win another Grand Slam, actually, until for 2 years, he didn't win another Grand Slam. So in my opinion, that was the mental toll that it took to get to the top and win the French Open, win that goal.
Where would you say he's at right now? Because there's been a few years since that time period.
I think he's found a new thing to chase, which is just records. And I think that's a good idea. If you're chasing records, certain records, he wants the most Grand Slams of all time. And here's another thing. He wants the most Grand Slams ever. For his whole career, he's had Nadal and Federer ahead of him.
Mm.
So you know that hunger thing we're talking about? That's the perfect source of hunger for you. You've got two people a couple of years or 1 year or 5 years older than you, in both cases with Nadal and Federer, who have won more than you, that's the perfect thing to go and chase. But I'm saying, once you go and if he were to go and achieve that, he's never had the most Grand Slams. He's never been ahead. Even now, he's one behind Nadal. So he's super hungry at the age of 34, 35. He's so close, you know. The perfect is the perfect ammunition to want to achieve it. But then, yeah, if he were to achieve it, if he were to get to 22 and get past Nadal, then I think you would see a drop again. Mm. So, yeah, basically, that's just Djokovic. I'm telling you, I've noticed that in a lot of tennis players. Andy Murray, once he got to world number one in 2016, spent his whole career trying to be the best, but being behind Djokovic, Nadal and Federer. As soon as he got to world number one, he pushed his body so, so hard to get there.
Just fell off.
End of 2016, his body gave up. It's almost like everything caught up with him, you know?
Mm.
So, yeah, he couldn't maintain it anymore. Same with Dominic Thiem. He's another top, top tennis player. He pushed Nadal a lot of times in Grand Slams. He got to finals, but he hadn't won anything. Then came to the 2020 US Open. He won that. And ever since then, he's not been the same. And I think what needs to happen is, to win a Grand Slam, just speaking about tennis, you need to be better than 127 other players in those 2 weeks, you know? Because that's how many players enter. 128 players enter every Grand Slam. You need to be the best player. And I think a huge part of that comes down to an intangible thing, which is just your hunger, how much you want it. And as soon as if you've achieved that and you let yourself just sort of realize that, you're not going to be the number one most hungry, the number one most capable of winning it from then on, because there's going to be the next guy who wants it really badly. So, it's like the most dangerous time in their careers, I think, is when they finally do win it. So at the moment, there's this guy called Alcaraz, who's, we'll talk about him another time, but he's insane. I think he's the best young player in history. It's very exciting. There might be a new GOAT in tennis that's coming up.
Mm.
And he's at the most dangerous part of his career right now, because he's starting to achieve all those dreams he would have had when he was a kid. And he won a really big tournament yesterday. He could win a Grand Slam. After winning the Grand Slam, that's when he might drop off. So it's like, I think you need to choose the right goals to keep that hunger. So for him, it would be to maybe do what Djokovic is doing, which is just chasing records as opposed to chasing individual trophies. Because as soon as Djokovic started chasing the individual trophy, like the 2016 French Open, he fell off once he achieved it. So yeah, that's the...
But then I suppose once he achieves the record, or let's say he achieves some records and, you know, gets the most Grand Slams or whatever, then do you think he'll still have the intrinsic motivation to keep going and try and make that record as high as possible? Or just the fact that, okay, now he's a record holder, it's just, he's going to almost die down until someone else catches up or, you know, gets the same number. And then he's like, oh, okay, I've got to step up my game, then go to the next one. So he's always just one up rather than just going all out and going like 10 up before even taking a break or something.
Because if you're going 10 up, it's like, where do you find that hunger in you every day to be working so hard, to be pushing yourself? Because so much of it in sport will come down to an intangible thing, like just how badly you want it, you know?
Yeah.
If you've got someone right next to you who's just as good as you, that's the perfect hunger. But without that, it's just not the same. So yeah, that's why Nadal and Djokovic and Federer are so crazy. But the explanation for how they managed to supersede everyone else in the history of the sport by so far is because they had each other to fight against. So they were pushing each other to new heights.
Mm.
And that's why they're still going now. Yeah, and I really am confident that principle persists in a lot of different sports. In the Premier League right now in football, you've got two teams which are both breaking the record points totals. I don't think that's a coincidence that they're both doing it at the same time. It's because they've got each other to push each other. To be the best, they have to beat the other one. But yeah, that principle is the same in football. You've got teams who really want to win a certain trophy. They'll push towards it. And every year they get closer because they realize that as each step they pass, okay, I'm actually good enough to get to that step. Now it's the next step I want to get to. Once they've reached the final step, which is winning it, that hunger kind of disappears a little bit, and it's just not the same. That when they're in those matches where it's the finest margins, suddenly they don't have that extra push.
Mm. Yeah, because once you've achieved the top, it's very hard to change your goal to something higher because you've achieved the highest, essentially.
If you've been achieving it for years, If you've been wanting to achieve it for years, yeah. So it happens in life as well, I think. It happens for me, for sure. If I'm trying to achieve something, pushing towards it, once I've actually reached it, whether it be a skill, like a level, playing football or playing golf or playing tennis, or learning a language, learning about history, the most dangerous point for me is once I think, I've done it, I've kind of done that, you know, that's amazing, like I've achieved something I've worked for months.
So it's very transferable to just everyday life as well, and not even just, you know, substantial goals and stuff, like, you know, completing a degree or achieving a certain amount in, I don't know, anything really. Because I actually experienced it very recently over the past couple of weeks. I suppose there are a few confounding variables as well. So obviously I'd been basically hammering, like just learning software engineering and all of various principles and basically going as hammer as possible. And I had a few goals in terms of being able to accomplish certain things and, you know, code up certain things or programs and stuff. And then once I achieved that, I realized my productivity in terms of development and just like my personal development in software development kind of took a plateau and started to come down in terms of its, you know, snowball, like it wasn't snowballing as hard. So I literally experienced that over the past couple of weeks as well. But then it was also Ramadan, and then I kind of shift focus towards Ramadan as well. So maybe that was a confounder, but I think internally in just my mental state, because I've slowly ramped it back up, but it took a while. I was like, I realized I actually needed something to kind of like, okay, what do I need to kind of aim for to motivate me to keep going? Because there I had much more concrete goals. So I suppose that is one of the benefits of, you know, realistic goal setting. So it's far enough so that you can, you have some time, like, you know, a couple of months or something to actually go towards something and properly, you know, push yourself towards it. But then not so far that you don't really know the path, because there will be so many small goals in between that you need to know those small goals to be able to make the stepwise adjustment to whatever that final goal is. And I suppose it'd be worth kind of noting out a couple of exceptions or something. Before we started recording, I mentioned the exception of Khabib in MMA. So, I mean, he's now retired, so I doubt he's ever, well, he's promised that he's not going to go back into fighting. So he's basically completed it, zero loss, completed it throughout. But I suppose even, you know, even when you're at like 30, like what keeps you going at that point? You're like, you're one of the best fighters in the world, like arguably.
It has to be records. It has to be the idea of being the greatest, maybe. If you're audacious enough, then, and you're unbeaten. Also, being unbeaten, I think, is a massive source of hunger in itself, probably. Every fight, you know, that's a goal in itself, I suppose. Mm.
But then it was like you say with McGregor, like he was unbeaten for a while and then it almost all came crashing down, but then it was like a loss and then it was like, oh.
Yeah. I also think, fighting is a hard one to compare, because the nature of it is so, where this is the biggest impact, where this like rule has the biggest impact, is sports where intangibles comes into it. Mm. Like in fighting, I would argue that intangibles, I think I'm wrong, because raw hunger does come into it.
Yeah, I think another good example is businesses, companies and stuff. Because just before we were recording as well, I was mentioning how in 2020, the revenue of just AirPods, not Apple, just AirPods, was higher than most like companies in the world. Like multiple times higher, because they brought in, it was like around $24-25 billion in just revenue, just from AirPods alone, which is higher than revenues of major companies. And at that point, you're like, Apple's just like playing, like they're just joking around. To be able to make so much just from one tiny product, they're just messing around. Like what? And then if you look in history, another good thing is like empires and stuff as well. But in terms of history, in terms of companies, if you look like IBM and now like Intel recently over the past couple of years, or like probably 10 years as well, they got to the top. They had the best technology and everything. They're one of the biggest companies in the world. And they kind of stagnated, they became complacent, and competition caught up, exceeded them. And then it was only when it's too late, they realized, oh, okay, we are in a little bit of a poo-poo right now. And they're basically done for at this point. And loads of major companies in the past have gone bust because of that, like BlackBerry, you know, they were ahead. Remember when there was a BlackBerry craze, man? And then the iPhone came out and they were like, nah, all of these touchscreen phones are like, nah, we're just staying on with the keyboard and everything. And yeah, they just didn't catch on. And then that's it. Even though they were, you know, probably the best or largest mobile manufacturer in the world at that point. And that'd be the doorbell. Give me 1 minute. Okay, I can't quite remember exactly where I left off, but we're talking about like the big fortune or like the huge companies eventually dying off because they get to the top, they become complacent. They don't really have anything else to achieve. Then there's not like another company, like they have the largest market share. It's not like they can get more market or they're the number one market shareholder in a certain sector. So what else is there more to achieve? It's impossible to get 100%. So at a certain point you're like, ah. But then there's also like individuals as well. Say like, you know, Bill Gates, when he was the richest, now he's kind of like not the richest. And he was the richest for a very long time as well. But then I suppose like he donated a large amount of his wealth and stuff. So those are other factors. But say Elon Musk as well, with he's CEO of multiple companies now, we're probably going to become CEO at least temporarily of Twitter soon. Just doing so many things in different areas. Maybe that's what keeps him going. Or I think it's because his goal is so ambitious in terms of every single project that he takes on is to improve humanity in some way that he doesn't have the ability to just kind of calm down because he's never really going to ever be able to achieve his goal, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the source of his hunger potentially.
Yeah. But most people, when they have some goal like that, that's very almost abstract and it's hard to kind of put some concrete goals to go out and, you know, at least get close to that goal. Most people just kind of flop and or not flop but just eventually stop going to that or maybe going towards something else but never really be able to fully 100% commit to that one thing. I don't know, it's definitely an interesting concept that once you
it's
achieve
an interesting one, isn't it?
Success
I think it's really applicable to life.
Yeah, and interestingly it's like a concept or it was either like a narration or something in Islam where at the same time, the seed of success is planted, the seed of failure is also planted at that same time. And I mentioned empires and stuff. When certain empires came up, they rose, they conquered like 50% of the world. What happens? They end up collapsing when it seems like it's impossible. Like the Roman Empire or the Persian Empire, like you're like, it's huge, it's so powerful, it's impossible for it to, you know, collapse. And then it does for whatever reason. It will start at the very top though, usually some kind of corruption or, you know, pettiness within like the family at the very top that's controlling the entire empire. And it eventually trickles down and leads to just the collapse of the entire empire. And at that point, the seed of success is sown at that point, right? But then at that, or where, when they first, you know, become the dominant empire or whatever. But then at that moment in time, it said that God also plants the seed of failure and that it will eventually come down. That might be in a particular person's lifetime in their success, or it could just be later on as well. So I suppose that's another interesting way to think about it. And that I suppose that kind of wisdom in terms of once you achieve success is very, very easy to just come down and fail is a strong word, but you know, you're not at the top or whatever anymore. So yeah.
That's my final statement as well. Getting to the top is so hard, but staying at the top is even harder.
I guess we'll leave it there.
All right. Okay. I'll see you in the next one.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Getting It.
If you enjoyed this episode
or didn't,
then feel free to leave us a rating and review on the Apple Podcasts app or on the Apple Podcasts website.
We'd love to hear your thoughts, ideas, or questions about anything we discussed. So feel free to email us at thoughts@gettingit.co.uk.
You can also reach us on Twitter or Instagram at getting_it_pod.
You can find all the links in the show notes.